And aren't you glad the promises of God, and especially Lent season, looking forward to Easter, an empty tomb, because Jesus lives. Assurance we can have through life in the midst of the pain, but also looking forward to the future. And in the meantime, that's part of the purpose of the church. What is the church? And so today, as we continue on our series, Convictions and Consequences, the church. No, that is not a cult, believe it or not. I recognize that. And so some of you, if you're, that's where you are now, you folks from Arizona, that's the building you're in right now. And spoiler alert, folks, I love you people, and God is doing such a good thing, and what a picture of a local church. We're not perfect, but what the name, Community Fellowship of Christians. That name says it all, folks. And in fact, on the website, Linda does a great job, and Lauren, look at the About Us. Go on the website. It's on a computer. Do you know what computers are? Do you know what a website is? But no. The About Us describes this, but community. Folks, we are a community and serving our community locally. We talk about Park and Teller County being our Jerusalem, if you will, and then we send missionaries and support missionaries. Folks, community is a very important aspect of what the local church is about. We are a fellowship. And I talk a lot about family because in the Bible, the church is modeled on a family. And so when we get together for worship and our congregational form of government, fellowship, and of course some of us has come from good denominations where fellowship means eating. We do a good job for that, so stick around for cake. But of Christians. Ultimately, folks, we wouldn't be here apart from the head of the body, as I read, Christ is the head. So I'm preaching to the choir here, but what is the church? Well, a lot of folks don't understand that. And in our state of American theology, professed Bible-believing Christians answered this question: worshiping alone or with one's family is a valid replacement for regularly attending church. So doing it on your own, not being involved in a local church. 46% of people agree with that. So we're talking about our beliefs, principles to live by, what the Bible says. We've been using creeds to help the Apostles' Creed as our creed, and so where it touches on as part of this series. I've been using the evangelical convictions and some teaching notes from Greg Strand, our director of theology and credentialing, to help structure this. But the idea of creeds as a teaching, something to help us, it's an active trust. Not, okay, we believe that. No, we believe in, or should be, the Apostles' Creed and the great doctrinal truths of Scripture. And so orthodoxy, the idea of right thinking, normative things that all Christians have believed. You know, there are some minor areas of doctrines that we're going to come from different church families and disagree on, but the idea of orthodoxy, which means right or straight opinion for the Catholic, small c, universal church. And obviously, it's important to know what we believe, but that we don't want it to stop there. We want to live our lives based on that and shape our worldview. See, there's a lot of silly thinking, and what we do on Sunday morning, I hope, is influencing our lives and our thinking throughout the week. And so the idea then is God's gospel, the good news ultimately of Jesus Christ, the big story, God's gospel is now embodied in the new community called the church. And so part of that premise of transforming our minds, what is the church? Biblically, not what does culture tell us, so we don't want to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And as we've been going through this, and I would encourage you, it's all builds on one another. The whole series since basically January is all on the website. You have a computer. Do you know what a computer is? And you Google, no. But the idea of starts with God, and then His Word, the Bible. Then we talked about the human condition, the nature of sin. But then the person and work of Jesus Christ. And last week we talked about God the Holy Spirit. And so almost, if you will, a progression now, where now we are up to, and so what does that look like in this world? And where is it embodied? The church. And so the statement of faith from the Ephraim, my denomination, we believe that the true church comprises all who have been justified by God's grace through faith alone in Christ alone. Important. They are united by the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ, of which He is the head. The true church is manifest in local churches whose membership should be composed only of believers. The Lord Jesus mandated two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper, which visibly and tangibly express the gospel. Though they are not the means of salvation, when celebrated by the church in genuine faith, these ordinances confirm and nourish the believer. And so the couple things that I want to cover today, the doctrinal topics about what does the Bible say about this. You have those handouts, all the verses. Once again, you can get as much or a little out of this, all the notes, and I don't know if you picked them up at the back. Did you? The handouts are back. If you haven't, the if you will, biblical proof text of the Ephraim statement of faith, that's on your own study, but that helps establish grounded in Scripture. And of course, the Apostles' Creed. And so what is the true church? The Apostles' Creed. We believe in the Holy Catholic Church, which means universal. We say universal around here. And the communion of saints. And so the idea of a family, a fellowship, very appropriate. Something else, that Christ is the head of the church. If we don't get that right, we get everything else wrong. And so then what is the local church? And then what are the ordinances? Next week we will be, baptism is one, and the Lord's Supper is another. Some of us come from some church families where foot washing is considered another ordinance, but traditionally throughout church history, baptism and the Lord's Supper are ordinances. More on that and the difference between that and a sacrament coming up. So, that right thinking, understanding our convictions, what the Bible says, how does that impact us? What does it mean for us? What are the implications? So first of all, the true church. And so some of the terms that are used, universal, Catholic, which just means, we think of the Roman Catholic Church. Some of us have backgrounds in that. And that was part of early on, the only church in town, if you will, until the Reformation. But Catholic, just another definition of that is universal, the church invisible sometimes we use. Other biblical, the body of Christ or the bride of Christ. I mean, what great pictures to describe what all believers. So our brothers and sisters right now are worshiping in different denominations, different churches, sometimes not in a local church, around the world. But that is all part of the true church. And a couple words that come out of the New Testament, where we get our word church, comes from a word meaning belonging to the Lord. Appropriate. We have to keep the priority. What is the church? Well, ultimately it belongs to the Lord. Or some of us have heard sermons on ecclesia, the called out ones. Well, the word probably more accurately translated an assembly, but the idea of we are Christ's family, and He has called us out of darkness and death and out of the world, and so we gather together is universally, but also in a local church. And so then what are members? Who are the members of the universal, the true church? Okay, and in that statement of faith, some very important words. All who are justified, declared righteous by God, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Very important. You hear me talk about that a lot, that ultimately is by grace through faith in Christ. It's not what we do. I mean, people can say, I'm a part of the church, but apart from that reality, being saved, being a believer, you are not a member of the true church. And folks, God knows who are His. In fact, here's 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His. So the true church It's God's church. You can fool me, you can fool the board, I can fool you. But unless you are actually a regenerated believer by the power of God in your life and you have responded in faith, you are not a member of the true church. And right away, that's a pretty exclusive club. But ultimately, because of what we've talked about before, who God is and how bad sin is, and Jesus, that's what God does. And there's a purpose for that church. And it, tied to that then is the idea that Christ is the head of the church. So some of those terms, body of Christ, the bride of Christ. When I read in Colossians, Jesus should not be in your life and in the church, as a, you know, as a local church here, and church universal, Jesus should not be prominent in our lives. Jesus should be preeminent. There's a huge difference in those words. And when we get that wrong, and way too many churches, and we can do that too sometimes around here, we, Jesus, but be very, very careful of taking Jesus off of the throne and we're preeminent and just making him important in our daily lives as opposed to preeminent in our daily lives. And so the Christ is the head of the church. If you were here last week, but that's the baptism, the spiritual, if you will, true baptism of the Holy Spirit, that he, by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12:13. So the idea of being brought into this family, this body of Christ, that is the work of the Holy Spirit individually in all our lives. Those of us who are Christian, the Holy, at the moment of being saved, the Holy Spirit baptized us into the body of Christ. Once again, we're still talking about the church universal, the true church, the body of Christ. Well, what are a couple ramifications for that? We should never forget that the body of Christ, universal, there is a kingdom, God's kingdom around the globe. So missionaries, things like that, that's all a good expression of that. A kingdom concern versus merely a local church or pastor's concern. Folks, this is, I don't like pastors because sometimes pastors are about building their own kingdom. And it's about one of my pet peeves, I'm not as laid back as I think I am. No, but I listen to my pastor friends talk about, well, my church, it is not your church. And I know what you mean. But folks, I try never to say that. The church of which I'm a part or the church I serve, this is Christ's church. And so if in this conversation, I went up spent some time yesterday with a district superintendent, a good friend of mine for my denomination, but sort of like my pastor, if you will, and talking about other pastors. And I told him, now you know why I don't like pastors, but imagine trying to pastor other pastors and listening to pastors talk about my church and concerned about building their little kingdom. It's all about us and what we're doing versus for the kingdom, God's glory. Folks, that right there would solve a lot of church problems. And actually, and I haven't announced, when is our congregational business meeting? We will be announcing, that'll come up at our congregational business meeting. But the idea of God's glory versus our success. And look how big we've gotten. And it's all about the physical and numbers, and pastors like to compare all that stuff. You're missing the point, if that's what you think. It is not, by the way, the board. We have some our wise president and vice president, we have some wonderful folks who serve on our board, and I'm thankful for that. But guess what? They're not in charge. You have a wonderful pastor. Aren't you glad I'm not in charge? But can you see how some churches, that's the way they look at it? It is not my church. It's not the board's church. It is Christ's church. And then the other aspect of that, folks, is it is the bride of Christ. We, you know, even us manly men can be a bride of Christ. What a picture. He is the head of the church. Marriage is based on this, but he gave himself for his bride, serving the church. Don't mess with Christ's bride. In fact, if you want, and I don't know if this is still on the website, did a message back on March 25th of 2012, most of you were here, called Don't Mess With My Wife. And I use the illustration of Georgia, you know, just as a husband, you don't mess with Georgia. I'm the only one that messes with Georgia. But how much more don't mess with the church? And when we look down on the church or despise the church or look at one another and get upset that, you know, I wish these people would be very careful of that spiritual arrogance of looking down at brothers and sisters who are part of the church universal, but also the local church. Jesus died for knuckleheads like us. How dare you or me look down on the church? Are we perfect? Of course not. But be very careful of our self-righteous attitude of, you know, I just wish people would do it this way. And it seems like every church I go to just isn't right. Guess what the common denominator is in every church? So don't mess with the bride of Christ. And so that vertical relationship of the true church, folks, now what's it look like that we can touch? That's that horizontal relationship of the local church. Think of it like almost like a branch office. And so the local church, community fellowship of Christians. The premise, if you will, folks, it's in the Constitution. I know in our country we could care less about the Constitution, and sometimes in our church government we could care less about our Constitution, but Article 2, Section 1 of the Community Fellowship of Christian Constitution, the purpose of this organization will be to conduct church services and to do all things allied thereto, good lawyer words, in support of the cause of Jesus Christ. His glory. We don't exist to magnify ourselves and to be the best club, elite club on the block or in this town. It is for the cause of Jesus Christ. So, when it comes to church government, and we have a congregational form of government, which is a biblical form of government, Christ is the head. So what does that mean? Well, in a couple of weeks, at a business meeting, is it about Jesus and his glory and what he wants us to do? Or is it about what we want? Decisions made, especially when it comes to money. Oh, God needs us to help him spend his money. Is it about glorifying Jesus, or is it about glorifying? I mean, I still am waiting to get the big bronze statue of me out front. But you get the point, right? It's going to have a long wait. Good. Because you'd get it all built and spend all that money, and then I'd be gone. They'd say, and then you could shoot your rifles at it. Folks, and we do a good job, but be very careful. Every now and then my eyebrow goes up sometimes when we're discussing things, and it's more about us versus, wait a minute, Christ is the head of the church. When it comes to the local church, as it talks about, the membership requirements that ultimately local church membership is only open to believers. And those of you that have joined recently, and it's pretty tough because you got to get by me in my interview, right? But we're laid back. There are not a lot of requirements, baptism, things like that. But if you noticed, I have talked to you about, you know, and tell me why God should let you into heaven type of thing, and that you are a believer. So all believers, but only believers. Unfortunately, in local churches, there are members of local churches that are not believers. And there's a misunderstanding of the local church. Well, I want to join the church because I need my ticket to heaven. That's not what the local church is about, okay? And in fact, I've told maybe some folks that they'll show up the first Sunday and they like us for some reason. It's definitely not you people. I don't know why they like us. But they show up and they really like it and they want to join right away, and I tell them, you can't. You need to come for a while and make sure this is where God wants you. You know, why do you want to join? Well, because I need a ticket to heaven. I don't think I've had anybody say that actually here, but can you imagine what I would say to that? You will not be joining then. Now, there are folks that probably ought to join as well. And so you can't join, you know, some people maybe shouldn't be joined and some people should be joined. I can offend everybody today. You just wait. And the importance of it, like I talked about before, and this comes out of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that part of getting together for edification, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Folks, we get together, we can encourage one another, we can worship. This is a family meeting. That's why we're better together, as it were. Georgia and I, there's no Lone Ranger, or there shouldn't be Lone Ranger Christians. When Georgia and I, our first trip to Israel, I don't know if you remember, with Chuck Smith, and there's a one, just a some folks that they were asked, oh, so where do you all go to church? And the answer for this one person was that, oh, no, we don't go to a church. We just commune with God out by ourselves out in nature. Well, can you be a Christian and do that? Of course, but based on what the church is, why wouldn't you be fellowshipping with a Bible-believing local body? And there are, obviously, some churches are good, some churches are maybe not so good, but that we need to be a part of a local church. So the importance of that local church and assembling ourselves to encourage one another. And so what are the ordinances? Like I said, some add foot washing, but baptism, you know, we have different views. How many of you come from denominations that sprinkle babies? Okay, how many dunk believers? And the rest of you don't care and are lying. Well, just a minute, we'll get to you people. No, but paedo-baptism, you know, a sign of the covenant of with babies, some denominations, you know, Baptist credo, believer's baptism, and usually by immersion. There are different modes, you know, immersion, you know, hold them down, and some of you probably are. Not anybody, did anybody ever get poured on? Effusion, not probably not too many, but a picture of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Or aspersion, which means sprinkling. And so we come from different backgrounds and different styles, and that's okay. That's not necessarily the point. When it comes to the Lord's Supper, different names, and this was asked earlier, the Lord's Supper, because it is mandated by the Lord, but sometimes we call it communion, where we are communing ultimately with what Jesus has done, and therefore we are a body, we are communing together because of that. Or some of us come from the where we call it the Eucharist. With, if you break that word down, which is it's not necessarily the complete definition of the words, but Eucharist, from the root, good grace. What a great word for what we do next week. So sometimes you'll hear me use the different terms for communion and all that. On November 4th of last year, there was a message on One Communion, if you're interested in going back and looking at a little more in-depth differences. That's not my point right now, because we come from these different, if you will, differences, but the importance is, you know, we can maybe disagree on the mode or have differing views, but here's where I will be adamant by the authority of Scripture. They are not a means of salvation. Okay? So ordinances, technically an ordinance ordained by Christ, we'll talk about that, versus a sacrament. Nothing necessarily wrong with that word, but sometimes it comes to mean that it actually conveys grace. Those of you with the Latin, ex opera operato, by the work performed, sacraments convey grace. And so things like baptismal regeneration, talking about water baptism being required for salvation. Folks, adamantly, I disagree with that biblically. And I think it's a misunderstanding of the spiritual baptism, the reality that places us into the body of Christ. But the water, different modes and methods, is a picture of that spiritual reality. Because what's the problem with that? If you think that baptism is required to be saved, what have you just done? You have added to the gospel. Jesus isn't good enough by himself. You need to add something to it. Now, Jesus saves and we respond? Absolutely. But if you think that's tied to your salvation, folks, there are a lot of folks who have not, how do I say it, fully trusted in Jesus, because they also are trusting in their water baptism or their church membership or their fill in the blank. do not add to the finished work of Christ. And that then part of the problem there is you're confusing the sign, the water, what we do when we celebrate these ordinances, with the reality of, in that case, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because like the word said in that doctrine, my E-free doctrinal statement, it's the genuine faith that is required, not going through the motions. Well, we didn't do that right. We forgot to do that. Careful. Because if we think that we have to do, say, our mantra, folks, now we're missing the point. I like tradition. But the minute we start thinking we have to do, so do we think it's the work performed that we, you know, do the same thing over and over? Folks, be very careful of that. Now, comfort of tradition and schedule, I'm all for that. But if that gets in the way of the faith of what it's really all about, that's the main thing. A lot of churches divide over the sign versus the reality. I'm more concerned about the reality than, oh, we didn't do it right that we didn't do it right this week, Dieter, and I hate you. The feeling's mutual. No. And so the importance then of baptism and the Lord's Supper, why they're the ordinances ordained, they are commanded by Christ. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 20 for baptism. And then Luke 22, verses 15 to 20, when it comes to when you do this, do communion in remembrance of me. And so when it comes to, obviously, the Lord's Supper, the different views, one of the views of the Lord's Supper is, and I skipped over this, but, you know, transubstantiation, consubstantiation, there's different, but ultimately it is remembering what Christ has done. I know you all remember this, but on August 17th of 2014, you guys all remember? Where were you on that date? The Word Made Visible was a message where it got a little more in-depth into modes and methods of Lord's Supper, things like that. So go back, and that's not my point now. The big thing is they don't save you apart from, but they are important. They are commanded by Christ, so they're important. So my challenge to you is, if you haven't been biblically baptized, why are you disobeying Jesus? Or when it comes to the Lord's Supper and not understanding what it's about. In fact, don't mess with the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 22 to 29, where Paul says, all the problems and divisions in the church at Corinth. He says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. In other words, don't take this lightly, unworthy manner. Not, you know, sinners are welcome to the table. Not, oh, you can't, you have to be without sin before you can come to. No, it's talking about trampling on, taking this, going through the motions. We didn't do it right. I don't like it when we do it this way or this way. No, you're missing the point. And Paul then says, let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body of Christ, which includes the local church, eats and drinks judgment on himself. I don't emphasize those verses too much, but he goes on to talk about, therefore many people are sick and die because they are not discerning the body, in this case, ultimately, the body they are upset with their local church brothers and sisters. Read, you know, 1 Corinthians 11, the context. And so, take it seriously, folks. You know, you show up next week and you just are harboring hatred for me. That's easy to understand. Do not take communion. You know, and I can't control that. That's why some churches have closed communion. They will only allow, you know, Roman Catholic, unless you are a confessed, you know, have been to confession, you're not coming to the table. That's one of their ways to try to protect it. God will judge if you trivialize this. But we sometimes in Protestant circles don't take that very seriously. Don't mess with the body. That goes back to the body of Christ. So you're upset at me for whatever, or, you know, I don't like Charlie's glasses, or just the silly things where it's all about us. And then you're going to come and take communion? How dare you? And we do pretty good once again, but I'm trying to convey the seriousness because it is commanded by Christ. Okay? And this is where we take it seriously. We don't worry about, oh, I hope I'm okay, but then God won't strike me. You know, that's what it's about, what God has done for our sin through Christ. But if we are superficially angry about whatever, or even baptism, if you have not been biblically baptized, you are doesn't mean you can't be a Christian, but it means you are disobeying Christ. See, and that's how sometimes it's in the name, a Baptist, or big B Baptist, they take it very seriously. You can't join the church unless you're baptized. But then there are other churches that, who cares? Yeah, if you want to, yeah. Folks, it's a good tension that we should have. So, I'm ranting and raving too much, sorry. So, the importance, here's where I'm going to get you all mad. Church membership, some of you probably shouldn't be members. Some of you should be members of the local church. Because if we, as membership, you don't have to have your name on the membership rolls to go to heaven, but what does our form of government require when we make decisions? A vote. And so we want the body of Christ, those who are the temple of the Holy Spirit, hopefully informed voters, which we don't have in America, of course, but we want the temple of the whole spiritually, hopefully maturing believers as members of the local church, because we're a branch office of the universal church. You have to be a believer to be a member here, or should, right? You should be. We want those biblical wisdom of folks voting so we can have the spiritual wisdom and discern the role of the Holy Spirit together, so that you don't have me up here telling you what the Holy Spirit says, because I guarantee I'll get it wrong. So the idea of biblically informed folks, membership is important. We are all should have a stewardship for God's glory. Once again, we don't want unbelievers voting with our millions of dollars in the budget for our own personal pet projects. It's about glorifying God. So can you see the tension, the importance of don't join too quickly, because you may not understand what membership's about, but if you're associating it, the importance of fellowshipping and associating with a local church and being an informed, responsible, if you will, voting member, you know, even though that's at a human level, but that's how we do our business, and we do a great job, I think, not perfect, but a great job with our board and the folks who serve, but that's the importance of the local church. So, sorry it's taken a little longer than I thought, but let me read a passage just so you can be angry at the author of the book and not just me. Talking about God's, the big idea, God's gospel is embodied in this new community called the church. If this is so, then shouldn't every Christian be a committed member of a church? If you believe, then you must belong. Many still persist in church hopping, always searching for something that might satisfy their desires. Evidently, this is not a new problem. For a colleague of Martin Luther, one of Ken's playmates, in the 16th century, Philip Melanchthon made this remark, "Let us not praise those tramps," you gotta love it, "those tramps who wander around and unite with no church, because they nowhere find their ideals realized, because something is always lacking. We must not be church dabblers. We must dig in and discover the riches that can be had as we live out God's purpose in real fellowship in the life of a local church. For without a commitment to the local church, we haven't rightly understood God's gospel." Okay? So I strongly agree with that. Please help me out if you disagree with that. So the idea then, better land this plane, that came out of that book I just read. What do you believe about this? Are you living this in your lives and in your church, in this case membership, and when it comes to the ordinances, and I forgot to mention this, the importance of the ordinance, visible and tangible, they help nourish us. If you will, this is, next week, this is the gospel proclaimed with would you, in manipulatives? What did you use as kids to help them manipulate things? Like, okay, you know, yeah, this is something we can touch and taste that helps us really experience the gospel. The ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper, help us do that. And so the idea of being embodied, I won't read it, but John chapter 17, verses 22 and 23, part of the whole body of Christ so that the world may know. The world looks at the church. You know, they're not responsible to the church. But as a body of Christ, we can help the cause of Christ, or we can be bad testimony, bad witnesses when the church fails. And folks, I don't want to disappoint my Savior, and I am thankful for our church family and you people, because once again, it's serious. I appreciate that we do a pretty good job of this. Obviously, we're not perfect. None of us are. But the importance of, and the friendliness of, community fellowship of Christians as a reflection. Good branch office. I'm privileged. Thank you for letting me be a part of this local branch office of the body of Christ. Next week will be Christian Living. We will serve communion, and it's all for the glory of God, and we're going to sing about the family of God now. So,